learn in a cookbook.
Well, being from California, I just wondered how you got so knowledgeable on it. So that answers my question.
Yeah, and I'm still not real knowledgeable. I wouldn't put myself up against a cook who's really Mexican. I wouldn't do it at all.
Well, but you're continually picking up stuff. You know, I mean, it's a natural when you have an interest in it. So.
Yes. I heard some other people come in. Would you like to give us your name and where you're from? Here. No? I tried to make some tortillas yesterday. I haven't pressed them out yet. I was going to press out this recipe that I saw in a cookbook wrap, and I thought, I'll whip up some tortillas. And I used part of the Bob's Red Mill gluten flour, but I didn't get around to doing them, so I put it in the refrigerator. I'm curious as to how they'll turn out. They looked very heavy.
Using gluten flour in with them?
I used some, and then I put a little of the gluten-free.
Oh.
Just for the heck of it, I thought, well, let's see what these look like.
You made them out of all gluten flour and just a little bit of other flour?
Yes, that's what I did. But I haven't cooked them yet, so I don't know what they're going to turn out like.
Because the only way I've ever used gluten is add a very small amount to whatever I'm doing.
Oh, no, I mean regular, like, pastry whole wheat flour. It has...
Okay, sorry.
Some flour that... normal flour.
Right, okay, gotcha. I was going to say, they will be heavy if you did them out of...
gluten flour?
Yeah, I think they would. I'm just guessing they would, even though it helps to make it rise and add protein. It's a very... to me, it seems like a very dense flour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in paying attention to what things are doing, gluten is doing to me now, I've started eating less breads and things like that. And I have noticed, I had a piece of toast the other day, and I noticed I was feeling a little bit off after, and that was all I had was the toast.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I've been doing the same thing, but I tried it on crepes yesterday, and they were a real flop, so I had to put in regular wheat flour in with it. So, but I didn't have what it called for. It was supposed to be rice flour, and I tried grinding my own out of brown rice flour. I tried grinding my own out of jasmine brown rice, and it was real gritty.
Real gritty.
Yeah, so I don't know whether it normally is or not. I can't remember. I've used it before, and I don't remember the texture of it, but I don't have any here, but I located a co-op in the area, and I'm absolutely excited. Can't wait today to get there and check it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a real find for me. And for what, has it been a year and a half now? I've been asking where, if anybody knows or anybody's doing a co-op around, you know, and I've gotten... one name, kind of, in Watertown, which is much further. So anyway, we'll see. I know there's other people on the line, so sorry.
Yeah. So anybody else join us, like to join in?
This is Veronica from Toronto.
Good morning, Veronica.
How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
Do you have anything to add to our discussion?
No, I actually just signed in and... I just got the end of the conversation about something you were mixing, and you put it in the fridge.
We were discussing trying to get off the wheats and glutens a little bit.
Right,
not
right.
Not to have
right.
so much of it. That's been kind of my focus since I went to a course and they demonized grains a lot. And I thought, okay, well, maybe there's something I'm missing. And then in learning about celiac a little bit, not nearly... trying to pick Karen's brain. I'm just wondering, you know, maybe there's something to this because they do show that some inflammation causing issues from wheat.
Yes.
And how they work in the liver and the pancreas. And I know for sure that I had been overdoing it. So one thing Karen told me that has hit home is consider your meat and grain in the same category. You're dividing up your food. Say you take a plate and you take a third of that plate a third of that plate would be your all your grain, dairy, and meat would go into that third.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never heard that before because you always hear a third of meat, a third of grain, a third of vegetables.
Right.
And she said, no, two-thirds of the vegetables and fruits can put everything else in the one-third category.
Well, and you know, even taking it a little bit more extreme than that, when we were down at McDougal's, the way he described it was a big plate of salad and raw greens and veggies. And then you can divide your plate into a third. And
I love it. Yeah, yeah.
Because you want a massive amount of greens. I mean, you can't get them into a third of your plate. You really can't even get them into two-thirds of your plate unless they're cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And if not cooked, so he starts out with this soup and salad, salad, and then a small serving of soup, and then what's left is going to be a small entree and some steamed vegetables on the plate. So the starch would be a third and then two-thirds of, like, steamed vegetables. And he said, you can eat all you want. You can be very satisfied with that. Not stuffed, but because you don't want to get started on that feeling. But you can be extremely satisfied and never gain a pound, only lose weight. And he proved it when we were down there because that's the way he was feeding us. I mean, we had these plates, and usually you went back, you usually use two plates, one for salad, go sit down and eat your salad, then go back and get your soup, your entree, and your steamed vegetables. And, I mean, nobody thought about anything after that. you were very sad. So,
you've been saying that for a while, and I've been listening and going, okay, I'm going to work on that. And it takes me longer to grab onto something and make it a habit. I need that repetition. And now it's starting to hit me. It's starting to go, yes, that's great. That's the way it should be. And it really is. So that is something we need to keep repeating and repeating. And then maybe we don't have to worry so much about all the other stuff because we are getting as much.
Well, don't apologize, Brenda, because that is the way I think most of us are built. It took me 2 10-day seminars, live-in, being fed, to really get the picture in my mind. Do I always do it? No, I don't always do it right. But I'm just saying, it is totally embedded in there, and every time I look at what I've done, I'm thinking, I'm still too heavy on, you know, da-da-da-da. So it's a natural thing, but it does make a whole lot more sense as far as, you know, what you're going to accomplish.
Then I think this shouldn't be so hard. You shouldn't have to focus on your food so much and think, oh, this amount of this and this amount of that. But then when you take it and logically break it down, our familiarity and our eating patterns have gotten so off. And
mm-hmm.
we have to do that until our habits get back to normal, like you were saying, Char. Then there is no focusing. It's just habit.
Right. You are exactly right, because for how many years have we eaten differently?
All our lives.
Yeah. And that we're just going to automatically switch into this because we know it. We've been told that, and we've been educated now. It still doesn't happen. Because
and it's not only our habits. It's also the advertising that hits us, too.
Everywhere. So, yes, we sound a little extreme, but it's the only way we're going to create the lifelong habit for ourselves. I mean, I know that.
I think it's also the idea that people, and we are people, do not correlate what we put in our mouths as to how we feel.
No, we don't think of it. We just think we feel crummy, and we don't realize what we've eaten.
Right.
Or what we've come in contact with.
Even us, who are certainly more enlightened than the general population, there are times when you put something in your mouth, and you just, you know, it certainly is not nourishing, but you don't correlate it with food is basically supposed to nourish the body.
And it tastes good when your habits start changing, your food tastes start changing. and other things start tasting much better. The ability to taste an apple becomes better when the palate gets cleaner and there isn't as much salt and sugar and high impact flavors hitting it all the time. Then you can really taste the milder, more nutritious food. Well, I got a couple of recipes. I actually did. I made a soup last night that was really good and very simple. I took it out of Ellie's book, Ellie Krieger, The Food You Crave. And, you know, she uses some meats and she uses some cheeses and stuff in this book. And that's been, like I said, the celiac thing I've been thinking about, and I got some celiac books and noticed there's a lot of meat and a lot of cheese and a lot of dairy in these books. But going through them, there's also vegetarian recipes and different ways you can make things grain-free and substitute. We've learned ways to substitute stuff. So there are a lot of good-looking dishes in here, too. And I love that, being able to look at something and switch it around and everything. But there's a couple recipes. And then in thinking about that, the way that these cookbooks that say they're healthy go about it, if there's very little cheese or very little meat, very, very little, and lots of vegetables in it, my thinking goes back to, if you're going to do it, treat it like a condiment just for a pop of flavor. And if you choose not to, then that's good too. So in trying to gather that information on the grain issue, and it's like a little bit, lots of vegetables, lots of fruit. So if anybody would like this salad recipe, it was very good and very simple.
Yes?
It is chopped salad with lemon and dill.
Okay, chopped salad with what?
Lemon and dill.
Oh, lemon and dill, okay.
Lemon and dill, and she said it's very simple, and she said they serve this delightful salad in one of her favorite Greek restaurants in New York. The first time I enjoyed its fresh, simple flavor so much that I just had to whip it up the next day, and I've been making it regularly ever since. So I thought, okay, I'll whip it up. But it's a head of romaine lettuce, shredded. A half a head of radicchio. Now, I had to Google that, because I don't know what radicchio is.
How do you spell that?
R-A-D-I-C-C-H-I-O.
Red.
A head of radicchio. It's the little tiny head, compact head of lettuce that looks like red cabbage in the grocery store.
And it's not in the cabbage family, huh?
It says it's a head of radicchio. It doesn't sit by the cabbage in my grocery store. It sits by the lettuce.
Huh.
And you'll notice it because when you buy a bag of mixed up greens or mixed up lettuce, you'll see that in there.
It's a wonderful color.
It's a wonderful color. It has a very bitter taste, kind of bitter hot like a radish. Maybe that's why where it gets its
taste. Oh, yeah.
When you just eat it by itself, but then when it was shredded and in the salad, it was really good. It kind of seasoned it up. Two scallions, the white and green parts chopped. And then the dressing is simply 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice. I put a whole lemon in there. 1 tablespoon of chopped fresh dill, or 1 teaspoon dried. Salt and freshly ground pepper to taste. And when the lemon and olive oil is whipped up with a whisk, it emulsifies, it becomes mixed together. together really well. And it was really good. I threw some fresh tomato on top of it.
Did you whisk it by hand, or did you throw it in the bowl of your dressing?
I whisked it by hand.
Okay.
And it it became kind of a whitish color. Yeah, it emulsified together really well.
Did it stay together later, or
yes,
to use it immediately?
It did. It stayed together. I didn't mix it over the whole salad because it was my husband and I knew I'd have leftovers. So we drizzled it over the salad.
So it was 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and or 3 of olive oil and 2 of lemon?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you
3 of olive oil, 2 of lemon, and fresh dill.
Did you use all the, did you use the full 3 of the olive oil?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say, I probably wouldn't either. It still
works. I was thinking, that's a lot of olive oil.
Sounds like it.
But then, you know, I just drizzled a little bit over my salad, and it went a long way, and I have a whole lot left. So even at that, I wasn't getting a lot of oil in my dinner. And I have fresh sage.
Sage or dill?
No, fresh dill. I'm thinking of the other recipe. I have fresh dill, and it's a good salad. That radicchio is something that we probably don't think about, but it just added a little zing to the salad.
I don't think I've ever used it. I've seen it a lot. I knew what it was, but I don't think I've ever used it that I recall.
I hadn't either, and it was really fun to pick it up. Now I'll probably do it all the time.
It's usually in our grocery store, it's usually placed with endives, you know, the small white endives that you can add with your salad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's where I've seen it.
That's where I've seen it, too, come to think of it.
Yeah. And it adds a lot of color. It's so fun.
So is red cabbage.
Yeah, like red cabbage,
mm-hmm.
But this is not, it's different. It's
a different flavor. Huh?
Oh, absolutely.
More bitter. It adds a funness to it. Yeah.
What, Brenda, this is Mary Lou. What does it really look like?
It looks like a tiny little, like the center part of lettuce. It looks like a tiny little head. You can hold it in your hand.
Okay.
And you know how iceberg lettuce is real compact?
Yes.
This is real compact. And it's a tiny little head, and it's like a purpley red, and it has white veins running through it.
Isn't the texture of it a little thicker than lettuce, though?
Yes.
Okay, more like cabbage.
Kind of like cabbage, but not quite as thick as cabbage.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to a special store this morning. Usually I can get the greens there, and I'm just wondering what it looks like. But you're calling it art. You say it's, spell it again for me.
R-A-D-I-C-C-O.
Okay.
I thought it was.
And you can Google it, and they have pictures on Google.
I thought it was R-A-D-I-C-C-H-I-O.
Oh, I wrote it down. Let me look it up. 1, 2, 3.
I thought that's what you said.
R-A-D. Yep, there's an H in it. I-C-C-H-I-O. When I was writing my grocery list, I just scribbled it down.
Okay, thank you. I don't know if I can find it, but it makes a lot of difference in your salad.
It was really fun. I tasted it by itself, and it was bitter, a little hot bitter. And it's not something I would just eat by itself. But in the salad, it was delicious. You know, it's like black pepper you're not going to stick in your mouth and eat it by itself, normally. But it's delicious on food. It was good.
Great. Thank you.
And pretty.
Okay.
And fun, because nobody ever buys it.
Well, I'll see if I can find it.
So that was good. And then I made a soup, and I'll give you that soup recipe because it was delicious. And I think it'll be better today after sitting, and it was easy. And easy is really good. This is a Tuscan vegetable soup. And she says, this is bursting with colorful vegetables, herbs, and white beans. And a rich tomato and broth. It's a meal in a bowl. Then I had some crusty sourdough bread with it. The ingredients are a 15-ounce can of cannelli beans or other small white beans. low sodium, drained, and rinsed. A tablespoon of olive oil.
One teaspoon of olive oil?
A tablespoon.
A tablespoon, okay.
That you're just going to saute the vegetables in that olive oil.
Okay.
A half a large onion, diced. He says about a cup. A medium carrot, diced. About half a cup. So this is something when you learn the veggies, you can just start throwing it together. Two stalks of celery, diced. Small zucchini, diced, about a half, 1 1/2 cups. A tablespoon of chopped fresh thyme.
Chopped fresh what?
Thyme.
Oh.
Or a teaspoon of dried. This I happen to have fresh in my yard, so that was really good. 2 teaspoons of chopped fresh sage, or a half a teaspoon of dried. That thyme and sage really made it good. A half a teaspoon of salt, plus more to taste. I didn't salt it, I just salted on my bowl a little. A half a teaspoon of freshly ground pepper, plus more to taste. 4 cups of low-sodium chicken or vegetable broth. One 14-ounce can of no-salt added diced tomatoes with their juice.
With what?
With the juice.
Oh, with juice.
Mm-hmm.
So you really shouldn't probably use fresh tomatoes, you don't think?
Well, yeah.
It
if
could.
You do,
yeah.
Squeeze in more juice. Get juicy ones.
I bet you could. Mm-hmm.
2 ounces of baby spinach leaves. That would be 2 cups of lightly packed chopped. I just took 2 giant handfuls, chopped them up. 1/3 cup, well, now she calls for it, just sprinkle a little drop of Parmesan cheese on top, or your soy parm, or whatever, or nothing. My husband had nothing on top. Okay, so what you do is you take half of your drained beans and you smash them, like with a potato smasher, and the smashed beans will help thicken up your soup. And then the other half, you just let it sit. Then you chop up all your vegetables, and you saute all your vegetables in the olive oil until it's starting to soften a little. I always start with the onion and then add the harder things. But you can throw them all in. She just says to throw them all in, saute them a little bit. And then you add the... And with the vegetables, you're sautéing the sage. Oh, I know there was garlic. Did I miss the garlic?
Yes.
Oh, that's the most important. A clove of garlic minced, about a teaspoon. I used 3 cloves of garlic, about a tablespoon and a half. Because I love garlic. So sauté all that together, and then when it's sautéed, where it's still crisp, you know, al dente, stir in your broth, tomatoes, and beans.
Including the smashed ones?
Uh-huh, including the smashed ones. And those beans will thicken it. And then throw in your leaves of spinach and cook it for a few minutes until it's hot and bubbly. He says 3, I went maybe 10. But the vegetables were still crispy. And that's it.
When do you put the sage and thyme in?
When you're sauteing the vegetables. Now, what I did was I started with the onion for about 1 minute, then I add the carrots and celery for 1 minute, then I added the zucchini, and all of the spices, the garlic and the sage and the thyme. And then I salted and peppered at the end in my own bowl.
Sounds good. What did you call this? I missed the name.
I called it Tuscan Vegetable Soup. And it's really good. It reminded me of the minestrone at the Olive Garden.
Oh, okay.
Only much better. Much better. The spices were better, especially with all that garlic that I put in.
Sounds good.
And so I had the salad and the soup, and because the salad was Greek and this is Tuscan and the crusty bread in it, all went together really well.
Sounds really good.
Does it say how many it's supposed to serve, Brenda?
Serve for this, one and a half cups.
Thank you.
It has 143 calories, 4 grams of fat, 8 grams of protein, 5 grams of fiber, 323 milligrams of sodium. It's a good source of iron, magnesium, niacin, phosphorus, and protein.
Right, guess what I'm going to shop for at the co-op today.
Sounds
really good. I've got most of it, but I don't have the radicchio. Whatever, the radicchio, period.
Yeah, that was good. So, but I'm going to start working on that, getting my list together in the morning, so when I go to work or whatever, I know what I'm going to make. If I have to stop by the store, I have it with me.
Yeah, I was going to add to what you said. I had to take another call in between there, but I was going to add to what you said. It was about the gal. Oh, I know, when you were talking about cutting back on the gluten. The gal came to visit me yesterday that is celiac, and I mentioned before that the only symptom she had was low energy, and she'd gotten so used to having low energy, she didn't know what the difference was because it had been for so many years. And I don't know why she even commented on it anyway, but or how she came about discovering whether it was just reading or what, because she is into nutrition. So anyway, she has cut out all gluten and does just, you know, gluten-free, gave me the name of a cookbook. She says, oh, because I told her I was going to try the crepes with the rice flour. And she says, you know, have you worked with coconut flour? And I said, I've got some. I've used it a couple of times. I can't say I've worked with it. She says, and you need to pick up the book Cooking with Coconut Flour.
I saw that online.
And she said, that is her Bible. She says, that is the most incredible book. And she said, the guy that wrote it, Bruce Fife, F-I-F-E, said that do not substitute. These have all been tested, and this is the best that you can get as far as combination amounts and everything. He says, do not substitute. You'll miss the whole way that it goes together. So anyway, I'm anxious to pick that up because she triggered, I think I said this before, she triggered something in me that made me think about one of my daughter-in-laws has said her whole life she has had low energy. And I don't know that she's ever considered celiac. So when I get home, I have to wait for the right moment, of course, and see if I can, if it can be of any benefit for her to at least try this and see if that would change it.
Now, did she say what the texture and how the coconut flour cooks up? Does it remind her of wheat flour?
Well, she just said it's so far better than anything she's ever eaten, she couldn't even compare it.
Oh, really?
Because
I used the Bob's Red Mill gluten-free flour in some cookies last week. I thought, you know, I'll make some cookies for my husband, and I'll try this. And they just crumbled apart.
Yeah, no, she said that she says everything she has done has been just absolutely wonderful.
Where did
and,
she?
Yeah, I don't know her that well, but I think she probably knows what she's talking about. And maybe she's saying for her because she's so restricted, but she didn't say it that way. So I'm very game to try it. And the other thing that I was thinking about, since I know that our oldest grandson is gluten intolerant, it would be very easily a transfer from, you know, at least in part from his mother also, if that is in fact her condition, so, or, you know, part of her problem, her situation. So
where do you find coconut flour?
Health food stores, and Bob's Red Mill has it, so any place that carries Bob's Red Mill stuff, you, depending on how wide their selection is, they could have it, or they definitely could order it in when they get it.
Thank you.
I've seen it many times, and I've picked it up actually more than once, but like I said, I have not, can't say that I can talk intelligently on it by any means.
There's a book I'm going to read. I haven't started it yet, Breaking the Vicious Cycle. It's about intestinal health and Crohn's and celiac disease. So I haven't read that yet, but in trying to reason and put all this together in my head, what I'm thinking about right now, and if anybody knows, please tell me I'm wrong, but gluten is a protein, correct?
Gluten is a protein, yes.
Gluten is a protein.
It's high in protein, anyway.
It's high in protein, and meat is high in protein.
Right.
And we know from the China study that we don't need as much protein as everybody thinks we need.
That's right.
So if we're not thinking of gluten or the grains in the essence of its protein, and we're just picking out on it, and that's all we eat, wouldn't it make sense that we would get sick from having too much protein in our body, the same as meat, which if Karen, are you here, is right, and she's, which I believe she is, in saying keep it all in the same family and keep it down.
Well, and
is that
the other thing we've learned, Brenda, is that it's, the protein is so much better absorbed and assimilated out of the veggies, than any other form. It's the most easily utilized by the body, and the fastest utilized by the body.
Yes.
Out of the greens and out of the veggies that we've got.
And broccoli is very high in, very well in protein.
And if you recall, on that list, you know what? I never even gave this any thought either. In the China study where it says, let me grab it, on page 230 where it says the group of vegetables that they're using for protein is tomatoes, spinach, lima beans, peas, and potatoes. There's no wheat in there at all.
The beans,
right. Coming out 1 gram less than the balance of equal parts of beef, pork, chicken, and whole milk. 1 gram less for the same amount of food.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Well, the beans are high.
Yeah,
well,
the beans are different in that way for the intestinal.
Yes, totally.
It's wonderful fiber.
Mm-hmm.
When my son was so bad with his intestinal tract, it was black beans that he could have. One of the most nutritious one of the most nutritious beans, I'm not going to say the most, that you can consume, and obviously one of the easiest ones on the digestive system, or he wouldn't have been given that. I think he had rice also. I don't recall, but I know he ate a lot of black beans. But was very, very restricted on his intake for the first 2 weeks. 2 weeks he was off medication.
Wow.
Doctor told him he'd never be off of it for the rest of his life with the case that he had. So,
case of what? What was the problem, Char?
Ulcerative colon.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, he just walked him through the death sentence. He says, unless you're hit by a truck, you're going to die young.
Wow.
Yeah.
Encouraging.
In
2 weeks he was off medication, yeah. He didn't like the idea of taking it just because of the family he was raised in, but, you know, he didn't have that much association with it, and he never had that much interest in food. And so, you know, and he's heavy on the allergies also. So he could also be dealing with the same thing, but, you know, it'll be a little easier talking to my daughter-in-law than to him about it. He doesn't have that much concern. As long as he's doing pretty good, he's fine. You know, when he gets into trouble, then he cleans up his act.
Yeah. How do you get off the medicine? Because when you're on it, the doctors won't scare you to death. If you get off this medicine, you're going
to... Oh, he never went back to that doctor again.
Oh. There you go.
That was not my suggestion, by the way. Those things I do not suggest to my children, just to go in and get another viewpoint. And I was pretty firm about that because he was really upset. So he didn't have any argument with me on it at all.
How old was he?
34 years old.
Ulcerative colitis is put in all of the grouping of things with Crohn's.
Yes, oh it is. That's exactly where he told him he'd end up. But he'd have the bag on the side and all of this. I mean, he described it. I mean, I could not believe it. I really could not believe what he came home and told me.
From my reading here, it's all put in the same category, and like we've been saying a lot lately, that's where, and especially Nancy's been saying it too, that's where the disease begins, because when the gut starts breaking down and you get that imbalance in what comes in, it says it's the largest entrance into your system that you can get, then the inflammation and everything starts fanning out from there into the rest of your body. That's why headaches are related to it. So clean up the intestine and the nutrition and the rest of the body starts to clean up.
And he's the one that was the one that got me started in nutrition when he was in the first grade. There's a big gap between first grade and 34 years of age, but he's the one that was having trouble being motivated in school, not disruptive or anything, but just being motivated. And the reason that I found out he was having trouble was he was consuming way more sugar than the other two. The sugar, the desserts, if he couldn't find something to eat that I made that was a dessert type or cookie or whatever, he would just grab a bag of sugar and start eating it.
Oh,
I caught him once with a jar of sweet pickles, a can of Hershey syrup that he was using to drink down the powdered cake mix, and sugar. Yeah, a can of Hershey syrup he was drinking out of the can. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, that's why
I'm
shocked.
Did he have a weight problem?
Never had a weight problem. He's got a little bit of a belly now. He could probably lose 10, 15 pounds, but... because he's too active. I mean, he's always moving. He's the one that would take the flashlight to bed with him and read until 1 o'clock in the morning when he was in the 7th, 8th grade.
Gee, the apple didn't fall very far there. Sorry about that.
Anyway, so, you know, you have to look at the pattern, or sometimes anyway, you have to look at the pattern all the way through life. It makes sense now that we've studied this, doesn't it?
It does. It makes sense.
Huh. I don't know if you were on the call where a couple months ago I talked about a friend who was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis.
Mm-hmm.
I had asked for suggestions. Well, she's recovered, you know, tremendously, and basically she had to go on no grains. No grains at all. That was something that she decided to take out of her diet. And no dairy, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And she's feeling much better. She's eating a little bit of meat, but what she's learned is that she's learning to listen to her body. So certain things that she eats, if it makes her bloated, then she eliminates it out of her diet. And she's drinking a lot of the water, and she's taking jade green, and she's feeling much better. She became very anemic during that time, so she needs to build her body up for because she was anemic and feeling very tired, but she's recovering well. And she did go to that site that you just spoke about, Brenda, the Breaking the Vicious Cycle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there is a site as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she did some reading there, and so she's working on that. And I believe there's a book, it's called The Carbohydrate, Special Carbohydrate Diet.
Yeah, I just got that.
Sorry?
I just received that in the mail yesterday.
Yeah, and there was a bread that she made with almond flour and those sort of thing, but no grain. But she's recovering well.
Yeah, the breads have cheese in them and cottage cheese and butter. I don't know how that will be.
Yeah. She said it came out well.
It came out well? In looking at it, I'm thinking, well, you know, if you keep it a condiment.
You know, I'll tell you on Friday, because we're late now. I mean, it's going into too much time here. But anyway, I found a feta cheese recipe that my husband used for dips, and he never even liked feta cheese, homemade feta cheese, and it is the easiest thing in the world to put together, and I'm like, oh, it's cheese substitute, you know, just homemade cheese substitute. I mean, these substitutes are great, and the whipped cream one, I can't give you that one, because it's way too involved. I've got to wait until I get the book, or maybe I can make it shorter, I don't know, but it was a six-page printout for it, or something like that. It was ridiculous, but.
And they can be used in baking, too, can't they?
I did a Mediterranean salad that he says, okay, I can eat this every night. I mean, he was so elated with food last night. It was unbelievable.
Oh, that's good.
So, anyway, it's fun when you find things that are really, and the salad was that hard, and the feta cheese, it'll be interesting to see how long it holds in the refrigerator. There's no reason it shouldn't. So, I'll keep you updated. So, anyway, do I take
okay.
Absolutely great.
We are running late. Is there anything else anybody would like to mention or ask?
I just have a question for Shart. Yesterday I came in the middle of the session, and she was talking about a CD or DVD. It's called What Are You Eating? Or You Are Eating What? And I sort of missed.
Yeah, you're eating what? You're eating what? It's a GMO. It's on genetically altered foods. And
where can I get that if I went online?
Actually, no. I don't know. It comes with a book. I got it with a book and so forth. You're in where? Toronto?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I could send it to you if you want to just reimburse me for postage and.
Yeah, I would do that, yeah.
And why don't you just shoot me on my email, dennyshar@comcast, and just put eating what in the subject line, and I'll take care of it. Give me your address, and I'll get it up to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dennyshar.
Oh, we're running late. This is Mary Lou again.
Hello.
And this has been great, but may I ask you a quick question, Shar, if the rest of them have to leave concerning the Inco wave.
You sure can. I'll try and answer it.
All righty. I think I'd read something that said, you know, it needed to be on your actual skin, right? When you're using it, like, not through fabric or something, right?
Through clothing, right. Yes, you're right.
Right. What about my neck has been so bad for weeks, again, it's back an injury from a car wreck years back. Can I use that through my hair?
Through your hair?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that should be no problem.
Okay, that's just the only thing question I had was, and then you don't use it when you're using the CM joint cream, right?
I guess not. I've never tried the combination. I don't know that I ever heard that.
And it says on there not to use it with on the back of the bottle or anything, but that's the main thing. I just wanted to ask about my hair because it's up in the top part of my neck and the base of my skull.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that would be any problem.
That's what I do.
Not a large amount of hair, just push it up or down or sideways or something.
Well, I've tried to do it, but I just wanted to ask that question because last night it was so bad, but it's really better this morning with going back and using that Kinko wave on it.
Well, thank you. I'll try it on mine when I have a problem.
It runs at the back of that skull of my neck, and it really, so, because yesterday it had shooting pain, and this morning I worked on the good with it last night, but I just go to the edge, and I wanted to ask that question, and so now then, I'm better this morning, and I can turn without a pain.
Well, I know that's one of Ruth Williams' favorite products, so I know how much she uses it.
So I use it periodically, and I had just not pulled it out last night. I thought, I've got to do something, so I did. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Mary, call me, too, and I'll walk you through a couple of drills.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got to leave to go to an appointment, but I'll sure try to call you in the morning then or sometime
okay.
later.
Good.
All righty.
Okay.
Thanks, Brenda.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
Thanks so much, Brenda. It was very, very good.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Brenda.
You're welcome.
Bye.